We have business with us. We're grateful for you being here. We're grateful for our regular members being here. We have regular Bible study at 9. We're studying in the book of Matthew, studying the Sermon on the Mount. I'd like to invite you to be with us for that study, if you are able to do that. Tonight we'll have our singing, and as Eddie said, we'll be changing our time to 6 o'clock. If you happen to forget and you're here at 5, just have a period of fellowship there and wait till 6. Okay. That's better than coming at 7, so we're grateful. Appreciate having that singing kind of gives us a chance to hone in on our ability to sing these songs, and I know a lot of people appreciate singing. Call your attention this morning, scripture found in Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is our salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Thus we have Peter's words to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem as they are chastising the two apostles for healing this man. And Peter takes this occasion to defend his faith. Christianity is new. The gospel being taught is new, but Peter is not ashamed of it. He's not afraid to stand up for that which he believes. In Acts chapter 7, scripture I would like us to look at, Acts chapter 7, beginning with verse 54. Throughout this chapter, we have a history lesson being given to the Jewish leaders by Stephen. Stephen was one of the 7 men who were of honest report that helped the Grecian widows when they had their difficulty back in Acts chapter 6. Beginning with verse 54. When they heard these things, that is the things that Stephen told them, spoke to them, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down. He cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And thus Stephen becomes the first Christian martyr. And he does because of his defense of the gospel. Because he defends what he believes in. Now if you will look with me to the book of Philippians. Look at chapter 1. Some verses there that tell us about the Apostle Paul. Philippians 1, beginning with verse 14. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. While we're to title the lesson, which I have this morning, we need a strong defense. Paul was set for the defense of the gospel. And we have to realize, I think, a little bit more about Paul and his circumstances to appreciate these words. He's in the city of Rome. He's in prison at this time. He's under guard. And yet he speaks these words to a church in Philippi, a church which he cares about very much. He addresses it to the saints and to the bishops or to the elders there, to the deacons. And he expresses not only his desire, but his intent to stand up for the Lord. And I'm sure that his saying that he was going to defend the gospel, was a great encouragement to those in Philippi. The church was facing persecution throughout the Roman Empire. These words uttered by Paul as he wrote from prison in Rome could only serve the purpose of encouraging them. He was grateful to be able to defend his beliefs no matter what the circumstances were. In fact, later in chapter 4 of Philippians, he says that in whatever state he was in, he knew how to be content. He knew how to be content. He could do all things through Christ, which strengthened him. We've heard the cliches around football games or other sports that defense wins championships. And a lot of times if you hear sports broadcast on the radio or TV, you hear people in the stands hollering out, defense, or the big D. So defense in sports is very important. Some have said the best offense is a good defense. So we've heard those cliches. And while it's really not as productive and it's more of a negative to always be on the defense, we cannot succeed in sports without it. We cannot succeed in our spiritual lives without being able to defend that which we believe. The business world defends their products as being better, as being better than other products. We defend our nation, and that's vital in a global sense. But it is very essential in our spiritual life for the Christian to defend our beliefs. Our defense of that which we believe and the way we live, the way we practice what we believe are great sermons for other people to hear. In Acts 22 and verse 1, as Paul was before the Jews, after he had been apprehended by them and the Romans had come in and taken him to protect him, as Paul had the opportunity to speak to these Jews on that occasion, the Jewish leaders, he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye now my defense, which I make now unto you." Here are people who just a few moments before were going to kill him. Roman soldiers had taken him to protect him, and now he's going to defend the gospel before these people. And the Jewish people thought that this new Christianity that is coming up on the scene was a cult. They were ready to put it down. This very individual, Paul, who earlier was called Saul, was out there persecuting the church when he saw that light from heaven in the book of Acts chapter 9. But now we see this same man who had persecuted the church now defending what the church believed. And he was defending it before a crowd that was very hostile. 2 Timothy 4, verse 16, Paul, in writing to Timothy, this young gospel preacher, said concerning Paul's work, he said, "At my first answer, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all men forsook me." So Paul was even willing to stand for that which he believed, even though he stood alone at times. He had said to the church at Rome, we mentioned it a few times in other lessons, a church that he had not visited, And he boldly proclaimed to them in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that he was not ashamed of the gospel. He's writing to the seat of the Roman Empire, writing to the very seat where the rulers were, where persecution could be and would be the greatest. And he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What do you think the message was to the church there? Don't you be ashamed of the gospel. Go out and talk to people about Christ. Do not be ashamed of what you believe. To the church at Rome, he said that. Peter, then in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 said this. If you have your Bibles, I'll turn there. And if you will, turn there to 1 Peter 3:15. A verse that we've heard probably a number of times with Bible classes or from sermons. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I have right beside this from another lesson, I suppose, on the book of 1 Peter, the great responsibility. And that is a great responsibility. The word sanctify means set apart. Set apart. The word saints carries with it the idea of being set apart. And so Paul is telling, or Peter is telling these people that he's writing to, that they need to set apart the Lord God where? In their hearts. It all begins in the heart. That the way we act, the way we talk, whether we will teach and talk to anybody else about Christ, whether we will defend the faith as Paul and Peter defended the faith, begins in the heart. He said you need to set aside the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always. Be ready. We'll talk about being ready a little bit later in this lesson. But that means to be alert. To be alert. To be prepared. He said to be ready. Not part of the time. He said, be ready always. We talked about opportunities a few Sundays ago. We don't know when the opportunity will rise where we can plant a seed in someone's heart. When we can speak a word from the Word of God that will encourage someone who is discouraged. There are those looking for Christ. There are those looking for answers in a confused religious world. And sometime, one day, we'll have an opportunity to meet one of those and to speak to one of those. I know on the airplane when I was working in taxis in the corporate world, you sit in a seat on the airplane, you got if someone's sitting beside you and you read your Bible and they ask you about the Bible, you've got a captive audience. They're not going to get away from you until that plane lands. So you have the opportunity, and they're wanting to know what you're doing. They're over there trying to figure out what they're going to do until the plane lands. Some of them got to take a drink or two to even make it in an airplane. But if you're reading the Bible or reading from some devotional type book, folks sometimes will ask you. Will ask you questions and allow you to defend what you believe. Be ready always to give an answer, to give an answer, to give an answer, to tell them what we believe, to respond to that which they're asking, to that which bothers people. And he said, be able to answer every man, being ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason. Now, we know we believe in God. Most believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And we believe in that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, as Paul said he believed to the church at Rome. But have we voiced that to others? Have we come to the point that we feel comfortable talking to somebody else about that. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks if you're a reason for the hope. We have hope, don't we? We have hope. We have the hope of eternal life. I was talking to someone recently. They were concerned about whether they were saved or not saved. And we can know or not know. That was the problem. Whether we can know or not know. That was the question. We read the book of 1 John. We'll see that we can know if we're walking in the light as Jesus is in the light. If we have been earlier baptized for the remission of our sins are cleansed away. And as we continue to walk in the light of His Word, our attitude of life is one of prayer, one of devotion, one of dedication, one of conviction. Then we can know if we're walking as Jesus walked. Walking as the Apostle Paul walked in the steps of Jesus. If we're walking in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Christ continually cleanses us. It's a continual action. Continues to cleanse us from all sin. We need to seek forgiveness. We need to have a penitent heart. We need to be ready always to give a reason for that hope. That hope that we do have. In the last part of that verse, Peter says we need to do it with meekness. We need to do it with kindness, gentleness, and we need to do it with fear or reverence. I've heard some people ask, well, you think you're saved? And then people say, well, yes, I am. And then say, oh, you're the folks that you believe you're the only ones going to heaven. We can be blunt with people, and that's not good. We can be tactless with people, and that's not good. But let's not compromise. Let's not compromise the truth. How can we be set to defend the gospel as the Apostle Paul was? Well, we'll need to know something about the Bible. We'll need to study God's Word, I think, to get to that point where we'll feel comfortable. I know there was a point in my life a number of years ago. I was teaching young people, working with young people. I was a deacon of the congregation. But I was looking to teach more at the adult level and to preach. And so I went back to school. Now, I'd gone to school before, but it had been a few years earlier. Because I felt like I needed an in-depth study of God's Word. And sometimes we need, as individual Christians, a more in-depth study of God's Word. We cannot defend what we do not know. We cannot defend what we do not understand. We can't give an answer for the hope that's in us unless we have hope. Unless we have faith. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. How much of the Word of God have I been hearing? Have I been reading? Or have I been listening to on tape if my eyes are getting where I can't see as good as I used to? You know, David says something, sometimes I mention it in prayer. He said in Psalm 119, Psalm 119 is very long. Sometimes we don't read it because it's long. Verse 11, I believe it is. David says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Stand against God. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That's where problems start in the heart. That's where difficulties begin in the heart. So he had God's word in his heart to combat our natural, or I suppose natural inclinations to do this or do that. So we need to be like the psalmist. He said he delighted in the law of the Lord. Psalm 1:2 encouraged others. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Just a few verses that Paul shared with Timothy, as he wrote to Timothy, he shared some things that Timothy needed to know. A young gospel preacher, one who would carry on after Paul had gone. In chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And yet this was the same young man that Paul had said in one of the books that he had studied the scriptures since his youth. He'd been taught by his grandmother Lois and by his mother Eunice. So here's someone that knew the scriptures. But Paul is encouraging him to read, to know the doctrine, give attendance to it, give attention to it. In 1 Timothy 4:15, he said, "Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them." Give thyself wholly to them. 2 Timothy 2:15, familiar verse, says, "Study to show thyself approved," or "give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright," or "rightly dividing the word." I have found that in preparing for lessons in classes, a lot of time, maybe more so than in sermons, is that preparation is essential. Those of you who've taught, whether you've taught Bible study or taught in the school system, study is important. A lot of times as teachers, we find that we study more when we're going to be in a position for folks to ask questions. So sometimes that encourages us to study. We need to be sturdy. Those on a battlefield, those who are preparing for warfare, have to be ready to endure the offensive onslaught or the threat of the enemy. The Bible speaks of Satan hurling fiery darts at us, Ephesians 6, verse 16. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter says that Satan walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. As I thought about that verse, I thought of the statement that Satan is a stalker. In our current day of way of speaking, Satan is a stalker. He's out there watching for us. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 encourages us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and encourages us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to be steady. Sports has its streak players, you know. And a lot of times the coaches are looking for those who will be consistent. We're coming upon the NFL draft, and they're going to have free agents and all these people around. And the coaches want somebody that can come in there and be steady. We need to be steady as Christians. We need to be reliable. We need to be able to stand against one common foe, our common foe, Satan. And we need to be steady. To be successful, we need to be consistent. We need to be consistent in our study. Till it becomes a habit. Just like our prayer life. Whether we pray in the morning or pray at noontime or pray in the evening or all. We need to be steady. We need to be ready. I mentioned that earlier as we were looking. We need to be prepared. Jesus said to his apostles that he was going to prepare a place for them. Heaven has been called by some as a prepared place for a people prepared. A prepared place. To Timothy, Paul wrote this. He said, "Be ready to distribute," or ready to share. To Titus, in Titus 3:1, he said, "Be ready to every good work." To be ready. As mentioned earlier, we're to be ready to answer for our faith, for our hope. Be ready always to give an answer for the hope that's within us. And above all, we should be ready for Christ's coming, shouldn't we? If we look at the book of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and other books of the Bible, we find that we know not the hour when Jesus will come again. But we know one thing, He will come again. Whether we will still be alive or whether we will have passed on, we need to be ready. We need to be ready for the judgment day also. And we need to be ready. We need to continue to walk in the light as He is in the light. That will help us to be ready, 1 John 1:7. We should be ready every moment. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready when the bridegroom came, and 5 were not ready. 5 were unprepared, and the door was shut. There wasn't any, open the door, don't you remember me? I've been ready, but I'm not ready now. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, as he thought about his readiness, he was very positive about it. You might think, well, Paul, how can you be so positive? He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He had that positive attitude. He knew what Christ had taught him. He knew how he was to live. And he knew that despite the sins he committed, he said on one occasion he was the chief of sinners, but he had gotten forgiveness for that. And he knew he was ready. This is what he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy. We will conclude with this scripture. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning with verse 6. Earlier in this chapter, Paul had charged Timothy to preach the word. But here, verse 6 through 8, he says, for I am now ready. I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that his death was of his impending death. He knew that it would not be long before he would leave this earth. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. This is given a reason for the hope that was in him. This is a reason he could say that I am ready. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, the course laid out for me by Christ and by God, and I have kept the faith. And so he was ready. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Isn't that an excellent attitude to have as he was nearing the end of his life? He was said to be in prison at this time, and it is thought that this was his second imprisonment, and that he did not go away from that imprisonment. That was the time of his death, and he knew of that impending death. But he was ready. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, to continue to read God's word, to be sturdy, to be able to stand up, to be able to stand against Satan's darts, to be steady, to be consistent, and to be ready, to be prepared. There's one this morning who has studied God's word, and this point is not a Christian. You studied God's word on your own with someone, and you're ready to name the Christ as a Son of God. You're willing to believe that. You're willing to confess it. Willing to repent of your sins, to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. Why not do that today? As a Christian, if you desire the prayers of this congregation on your behalf, whatever you need, would you come as we stand by yourself?